management skills, I consider this to be as very important as far as international business is concerned. Local trade, you don't need any management skills. Therefore, those entrepreneurs who are interested in the field of international trade, they need to possess the ability to think globally, out of the hat, and have an understanding of international cultures by appreciating and understanding different beliefs, values, behaviors, and other business strategies of a variety of companies within other countries. You will be able to internationalize successfully. You must also have an ongoing concern for innovation. Your local methods will not do. You have to have innovation, maintaining high level of quality, and above all, continue to strive to provide the best business strategies if you really want to do international business successfully. These are all a part of the management skills required. Look at this chart. Communication is the fundamental tool by which people interact in the organization. And by communication, I mean all types of communication, verbal, non-verbal, active, inactive, etc. And here I have given you 7 C's for effective business communication. These are guidelines. See, study, and see how you can bring it into your business strategy. Language. This is a basic factor which helps you in your communication. This is a key ingredient of export success. To assess local companies to export successfully. Why? Because you need to have a foreign language. That is a language not spoken in your country only. Language spoken in another country. Because all business contacts that you make for your foreign trade may or may not have sufficient English knowledge to communicate. Of course, nowadays English has become a basic factor, but no, all countries need not have this factor. And it becomes difficult for them to understand what we are saying and for us to understand what they are saying. Therefore, we need an interpreter who will explain what your client is telling you and what you are trying to tell your client. Here, this has got a very different process. The basic understanding of this process is essential if you want to communicate effectively. It may also be that you want to travel for business and for transaction business in many countries. English may be the basic language for most of the countries. But if you know one or two of the other world languages and add it to your vocabulary, of course, maybe in a small scale, it will always help you in developing contact very fast. Ease up the cultural difference between you and the parties with whom you want to contract. Let us now look at our Indian economic scenario. India's economy has been the world's fastest growing major economy, and we are surpassing China also. How have we obtained, how have we got this perspective in our Indian economy? It is because you, our young population, having proficiency in English and corresponding low dependency ratio. Means today's families are very small and virtually all members of the family are working, so they don't have a dependency on each other. Previously, olden days, we had large families where one or two members were earning members and most of them, others were depending. Here, we have a low dependency ratio. And above all, we have got a very healthy saving and investment rates. Plus, we have integrated ourselves into the global economy. This is the biggest plus factor. Look at World Bank's growth outlook, which they brought out first time in 2015-16, during which period our economy grew by 7.6%. Do you realize what this means? It basically means that during the year 2015-16, each Indian became richer by 7.6% across the board, whether the lowest of the poor or the highest. Of course, the highest bracket may have gone more, lowest bracket may have gone a little bit less. But on an average, the growth for us as citizens was 7.6%. Of course, despite the previous reforms, economic growth is still significantly slow due to various factors of bureaucracy, poor infrastructure at certain places, and inflexible labor laws. Yes, during these coming years, even at present, you find government is changing all these factors which are hindrances to our economic growth. Pre-liberalization, there was a period around 1991-92. Before that, pre-liberalization, where the economy was totally protected, our balance of payment on current account was totally negative. Economy was characterized by extensive regulations, protectionism, public ownership, banks nationalized by government, companies taken over by government, and these created large monopolies. The net result was all around corruption and slow growth. But 1991, there was total economic liberation, where the country started moving towards a market-based economy. And by 2008, we had established ourselves as one of the world's fastest growing economies. Our reliance on external assistance and concessional debt, the loans that we were taking from the world market before 1991, decreased during this period. We were more self-reliant. RBI data showed that for the first time since 1991, we were funding our deficit through foreign direct investments. Other countries saw that India is expanding very fast. Business is expanding very fast. Economy is expanding very fast. So they came with their investment directly. We have been historically funded our current account through deficit borrowings in the past. or remittances by non-resident Indians and portfolio inflows, etc. But the strong efforts which have been taken now to boost ease of doing business at all levels, whether the state government levels or the central government levels, has impacted all the rankings in India. So much so that United Kingdom, they were at one time very large borrowings in India. We were borrowing quite a large quantum from UK. They started saying that India does not need financial aid. Their growth is robust. Indian economy is growing very fast. We don't have to give any growth aid or any other forms of foreign aid to India. This, my dear friends, was a very big achievement. This was an impact of the global trade as a whole. We are globally connected to one another by purchasing and using goods from all over the world. And it is because of this connectedness that transportation of goods have become a crucial part of our lives on a day in and day out basis. You see, millions of products traveling across oceans from one end of the world to another end of the world just to satisfy our needs, our lives easier, faster, happier. Are you not happy by getting so many different kinds of imported goods? Yes, we are totally crazy about imported goods. And circulation of these global goods means so much to the international economy. Why? Because it is associated with trade. Firms import goods and services to use them as inputs to produce goods and services and export it also. Look at the 100% export-oriented units that have grown up in all parts of India. Look at the SEZ, Special Economic Zones, which have been working in all parts of India. They have taken really very vast strides. Why? Because they import raw material components as inputs and produce world-class goods and export them. And imported goods and services incorporated in a country's exports are a key indicator of economic integration. Look at the comparative advantage that this has given to us. The main principle is that all nations can gain from trade if each specializes in producing what they are efficient at producing. This is where we have shown that we have specialized in our agricultural sector. And we have become today an agricultural giant as far as exports are concerned. Countries with relative abundance of certain factors of production, the theory of comparative advantage products predicts them that they will export goods that rely heavily on those factors. And country typically has a comparative advantage in those goods and use them more intensively, its abundant resources to create value added product. That is where comparative advantage is working day in and day out. Of course, it is one but not the only force driving or incentivizing to specialization in trade. It is one of the main factors. Another factor is specialization. Several economists have developed theories that trade is not due to differences between countries, but instead due to increasing returns of scale. An economic term used to denote a technology in which producing an extra unit of goods becomes cheaper if you operate or produce on a larger scale. The idea is specialization allows countries to reap greater economies of scale. Production cost is reduced by focusing on large quantities of specific products. Trade, of course, can be a very good idea even if the countries do not differ in endowments, including culture and various other institutions. Trade can still be a good idea. Most important factor is that we have gained investor confidence. We have to continue gaining this. As global income growth is being driven by trade and investment, understanding the impacts of trade dispute is the key factor. If investor confidence is shaken, the recovery could be derailed very badly. Today, over a certain period of time, we do see uncertainties in global business environment. Here, all countries have to retain, they have got to act to retain investor confidence and avoid disruption of trade flows and global supply chains. Countries can improve the credibility of future policies by deepening their commitment to multilateral fora such as the World Trade Organization and other regional trade agreements. The timely and clear communication of all future changes in trade policy, and it is important to minimize trade policy uncertainties. Tariff wars, we see very big tariff war going on today, and the biggest war which has started is between America and China. The way things are moving, this is hurting both of them. There are countries where it is almost certain that trade deficit will occur, and therefore countries may also set tariffs as retaliation techniques if they think that a trading partner has not played by the rules. As tariffs are beginning to be imposed, the new trade tariffs will depress bilateral trade, disrupt global supply chains, and increase demand for substitutes from developing countries. Yes, the trade war between America and China is affecting trade between them. But if we start looking from our angle, it is now helping us more to supply goods to America, which was till now being supplied by China. Let us step into that very fast. We have started stepping in. Looking at the possibility impacts of this tariff escalation on developing countries, you can see that third-party countries can benefit from increased preference margins. We can increase our profit margins by supplying goods in such kind of a scenario. And here we have to see that we do not shake the investor confidence, because if investor confidence is shaken, these gains are more than offset by all regions by negative income effects. We have to look at the economic impact of the world's biggest economies to understand the impact on developing countries. Sector most affected include agriculture, chemicals, and transport equipment in the United States. These have been affected by this trade war in the United States, and electronic equipment, machinery, and other manufacturing in China. They have taken a very big hit. Of course, World Trade Organization was formed to smoothen and justify the process of trade between countries of different economic standing. Why? Because they work towards the facilitation and growth of international trade. But they have not been found to be very helpful in this particular situation.
Let us look at the effect of the global crisis as far as our international trade is concerned. The China and United States trade war has caused significant damage across the global economies. United States began setting tariffs and other trade barriers on China, forcing it to make changes to what the US has described as unfair trade practices. This has brought struggles for farmers and manufacturers and higher prices for consumers in the United States. That means it has affected the United States more than anybody else. Some countries have benefited from increased manufacturing to fill this particular gap. It has also led to stock market instability, totally unstable now. COVID-19 pandemic, this is the most disruptive of all pandemics which we have seen. Economies across the world have initiated population lockdowns to curb the spread of this pandemic. Everybody was asked to stay within their home, not to go out, not to do free movement, not to come in contact with each other, so that this is minimized. Stay-at-home orders affected many types of businesses that provide in-person services. People could not go to their offices, and the business people could not provide in-person services. This resulted in the collapse of industries and consumers, which put major pressure on banks and employment. Overnight, people lost their jobs. The pandemic is considered unanimously throughout the world as a major factor in causing the recession. We see a recession being created. Why? Because the decline in the economic activity was due to the self-imposed restrictions on activity on the vast majority of individuals who have all voluntarily disengaged themselves from all commercial activities. There was a voluntary movement by people. We have also seen the Russia invading Ukraine, the Russia-Ukraine war. Ukraine has been the main transit route for Russian natural gas to be sold to Europe. It was passing through the pipeline via Ukraine. So Russia is the largest supplier of gas to the European countries, and the pipeline passes through Ukraine. Now this particular war has disrupted. Russia launched the Nord Stream pipeline bypassing Ukraine. Ukraine president warned that this Nord Stream 2 natural gas pipeline between Russia and Germany was a very dangerous weapon. And the Russia-Ukraine war was due to tensions in the gas sector. The initial reaction caused the Russian and European stock market to tumble to a very great extent. The Russian ruble hit an all-time low against the US dollar and euro dollars. Exchange rate went on fluctuating to a very great extent. Of course, the Russian central government hiked the interest rates and intervened in the foreign exchange market to try to stabilize the currency. But on a global scale, of course, prices for wheat and grain rose in the international market. Why? Because Ukraine, being a major exporter of both these crops, and Ukraine could not supply. Therefore, the price went on increasing. How has this affected India? What is the effect on India? India's trade deficit widened to a record high, which was led by high value coal and petroleum imports amid the high international prices. The international prices of the petroleum products, especially crude oil, went on skyrocketing. And economists now expect the trade deficit between exports and imports to remain elevated. India's service exports market share has improved slightly now. Of course, computer services comprise about 1/3 of India's total service exports. That means our services exports, IT and IT related software export is all relying through the computers, and therefore this particular industry was not impacted to such an extent, but it grew at only half the growth rate of the world computer service exports. It could not grow to the fullest extent. Why? Because the focus of exporters should now be on sectors such as market research, consulting, engineering and construction services to improve their market share.
Thank you.